Well, good morning. Welcome to West Valley Presbyterian Church.
Would you join me in prayer? Oh, Lord, we're so grateful that if you are for us, no one can be against us. Lord, we come to you today in this new year, 2014, praising your name for yet another year to continue to spread your good news, another year to praise your glorious name, you who are for us. Another year, Lord, when you have blessed us with life and breath and all things good. Another year where, strengthened and nourished by the Holy Spirit, we will have opportunity after opportunity to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with you. We thank you. We praise you for this, and we ask that you would open our eyes in this new year to see others the way that you see them, to be touched in our hearts by the things that touch your heart. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins, and set us free this day to live fully and abundantly in your presence. Lord, we're so aware that our world is not the place you intended it to be, and we think of all those who must endure bitter cold today as half of our nation goes into record low temps, and we pray especially for those who are on the streets with nowhere to go in those areas, that you provide safe shelter, warm beds, and compassionate people to help them. And Lord, we thank you for service worship last Sunday, where we did our best to make a difference. And thanks for all who came out. And may the seeds that were planted continue to grow. And may you continue to work in us as a community to soften our hearts and make us generous and grateful people, serving with joy to allow your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Be with our adult education program that begins again this Sunday. And thank you so much for those who have stepped forward to lead. I pray that we would take the time to grow and learn more about the richness of our faith in you, Lord. There's so much to learn. We think of those who are sick in our community of faith here at West Valley Presbyterian Church this morning. We pray for Mary Jean Bartoli. We pray for Norm Pratt, who continues to get better and better. We ask for your healing touch on Will Tarleton, Ella Yule, Pat Cooper. We pray for Kimberly Bale, that this next step in the treatment of her foot would be successful. We lift up Melissa Tarter, who is in the hospital today. We pray for her pregnancy, that she will deliver a healthy baby. We also pray in this season for all who are bereaved and in grief today. Comfort them with your presence. We pray for all who love this church and are shut in today and unable to come. We thank you for our deacons and the way they follow up and visit and call. We pray that you'd be with our deacons retreat this Saturday as we learn about how to pray more effectively for those in need. We ask for your blessings to be upon our session. Help them, Lord, and give them wisdom and discernment in all things as they lead our church. These are tumultuous times, and we need your holy presence and deep wisdom. So we pray for them. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with Sharon LeClaire as she brings us your word this morning. And help us to listen and receive. Thank you for her and her desire to be in ministry, the call you placed upon her life many years ago for this purpose. And we are grateful for her presence with us today and for her many years here at West Valley. Lord, we know one day we will see you face to face, and all of our questions and yearnings and fears will be quelled. Until then, we see through a glass dimly, and yet we see enough to have great hope and glorious expectation. We know that we are here for a purpose at this place in this time, and we trust you to continue to open up the reality of your amazing grace to us in this new year. So in faith and with great joy, knowing that you will see us through and that in you we have all that we need and so much more, we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
The second scripture reading comes from Psalm 31, verses 1 through 22. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet on a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of the mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let my face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Let the lying lips be stilled, and they that speak insolently against the righteous with pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight, but you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. It is overwhelming. Can you feel it? It is life depleting. Can you sense it? Here is a person, the psalmist, who is caught up in the waves of depression. His life is no longer his own. His eyes are bloodshot and sore from crying, and his body and soul are wringed lifeless from grieving. He has no strength. His years of misery, his day in and day out of depression, has caused his body to waste away even to his bones. He is ravaged by guilt, real or imagined. And his years and years of suffering might have begun just yesterday, for time passes differently for him now. He is not able to sense the world as he once did. He is convinced that no one wants him alive, and he is totally isolated, tied up in the anxiety of his own mind. His neighbors don't want to be with him, for his poisonous sorrow is too much to be near. Eventually, the psalmist fears for his life. Whether this fear is real or imagined doesn't really matter, The pain he is in is real nonetheless. Do you know the feeling? Do you know that ready to give up feeling? This is the last straw, the final blow to all the poet has been suffering. He feels abandoned by God. His depression cuts him off from that last vestige of hope that he had tucked away in his pocket. I know how he feels. Depression is that darkness that overtakes and swallows me up at times, where even a hand in front of my face is blotted out, and the stiffness of my eyes makes me strain to see what I can't. It is blindness to all things happy and deafness to all things joyful. Depression is that place where all my effort goes to drawing that next breath, and I wonder, is it worth it to try anyway? With razor-like precision, depression severs the links between my suffering and my family and friends so that speech becomes too arduous and explanations just too tiring. Depression is that intense anxiety turning away at my insides as that deathly silence covers over the top. You may not have known major depression, or maybe you have. But I'll venture to say that you've known fear like this, that terror that you will lose your job, that late night phone ringing when your teenager is out after curfew, noticing your partner is forgetting a few more things as time goes on. But it is at this point there appears for the psalmist a pinhole of light in his darkness, in the darkness of his depression. Some tiny intrusion into the blackness that he has grown accustomed to. Can you see it? Do you see the beam in the darkness? It isn't new. It has always been there. But now, by the grace of God, this bedraggled and downtrodden at the end of his rope person can see it. For the first time, this suffering soul, whose eyes were dry from crying out all his tears, whose body was wasting away and whose spirit was broken and in isolation, can see the tiny beam of light shining in his blackened world. The light is the grace of God. The miracle is now that the psalmist can see it. The psalmist has been given a warm ray of grace from God that is breaking him out of his misery and cutting through the darkness of his soul. In John's Gospel, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." So back in the very beginning, the beginning of all of this, the beginning of all of us, even then, the darkness did not overcome the light. From the moment the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and God said, "Let there be light," there has always been light, and there has always been darkness. The darkness can never extinguish the light. That's not just the physical world, the night and the day, the sun, the moon, and the stars. That is in us, in our lives, in our very souls. The darkness you may be feeling around Christmas, whether you feel the letdown after the holiday race, or maybe the holidays were very different for you because of the hardship you have faced in the last year or so. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how bleak we feel, the darkness will never extinguish the light. That is the promise of Christmas. That is the promise of the Christ child. That is the promise of the indwelling light. For thousands of years, the promise of Scripture has been that we will share in that grace. We will know that inbreaking light. We will share in the gift of God's grace to intrude upon our sorrow and pain. I have experienced such grace. It was Christmas 2008. The holidays are a difficult time for me sometimes. And I was in one of the two worst depressions I've ever felt. My world was very much as the psalmist was feeling that I read earlier. A seminary friend of mine invited me to a Christmas Eve pageant at her church. It was pouring, pouring rain. I got home to a dark and dreary apartment and was very far away from being able to sleep. So I knew what I needed to do. I needed to write. So I lit a single candle, I got out a notebook, and I began to write. All kinds of thoughts came pouring out of me like the rain outside my window. Some ridiculous things like a letter to my nephew, apologizing for not seeing him grow up. And other bits and thoughts that made me wonder what the folks who had jumped off the bridge might have been thinking when they got depressed at Christmas time. And I just kept writing and writing, and I filled a notebook just as the sun was coming up on Christmas morning. I suddenly felt very, very tired. I could hardly sit up or see straight. So I decided to go to bed and sleep a while. What an amazing few hours. It was a grace-filled sleep. Out of those deep, undisturbed, and peaceful sleeps that happen to me very, very rarely, that was my pinhole of light. That few hours of sleep was the grace of God. But it wasn't just the sleep. That interlude interrupted my darkness. That sleep, that powerful sabbatical from my torment, got me out of the place that had consumed me for the hours and days before. My depression was still there, and in a few days I entered a hospital and was successfully treated for it. But the crisis was averted by some much-needed peaceful rest. In the form of the grace of God. The darkness had not overcome the light. The psalmist knew of this grace, and his writing is telling us to look for that pinhole of light, that beam of grace. It is always there. When you're in the thick of it, it doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem that anything or anyone can help. But the psalmist is telling us, the word is telling us, that the darkness cannot stand against the light. The healing happens when, because of the grace of God, we can spy the pinhole and see the beam of light. The grace is the light. The miracle is that we can see it. The psalmist knew that, and we can know that too. In the meantime, in the waiting, in the terrible, awful waiting, this church will stand with you. This is what a faith community does for each other. We open our hearts to each other, share our pain with each other, when we're afraid, when we're sad, when we're just plain lost. We receive God's grace and the support and caring and love that comes in the pinhole of light we give to each other. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. That's a promise. That was true at the moment of creation. That was true for the psalmist. That was true for the Gospel of John. It was true on Christmas morning. And it is true for each one of us right now. There is nothing so dark that the light of grace of God cannot break through. Nothing. Amen.
I want to thank you, Sharon, for sharing with us this morning, and I'm sure many of us can relate to those times of darkness, when we need the Holy Spirit to help us see those pinholes of light. And I was thinking about going now into the Lord's Supper and how there's an actual scripture that says after Judas betrays Jesus, there's a short little scripture that said, and it was night, it was dark. And yet throughout the darkness of the supper, as disciples knew that Jesus was going to his death or had some inkling about that, Jesus kept giving them, I think, pinholes of light. You know, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You know, believe in God, believe also in me. Or if I don't go, the Holy Spirit's not going to come to you. All through this whole experience of a dark night, Jesus was constantly giving them hope, giving them rays, those pinholes of light, to come into that dark time and help them to have hope, even in the hard times. So if any of you are in a difficult time right now, ask as we receive communion together that God's grace might come upon you and show you those pinholes of light as we partake of the supper together. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for these elements of bread and juice that are sacramental, that are an outward visible sign of the invisible reality of your presence, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts now to receive these gracious signs of your presence with us now. As we partake of the bread and drink the juice, may you minister to us as any of us has a need. And may we know that you are with us and that your light will always overcome whatever darkness we experience. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me. In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, drinking all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again. So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. Anyone who has received Christ as Lord and Savior is welcome to participate. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us receive them with thanksgiving. Body of Christ. The blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning, and my prayer is that God's grace will be upon you in this next week and that you'd be able to see those pinholes of light coming through and reminding you of the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you all. Amen.